Welcome back to Show Me Today. We continue our conversation as Elisa Nelson visits with State Education Commissioner Margie Van Deven to get her thoughts on the budget proposal that includes several major public education investments.
Is there anything that you would have liked to have seen in the budget that maybe didn't get as much attention this year or didn't get as much funding? Any that come to mind?
You know, I think I'm really eager to see what our Blue Ribbon Commission, the State Board of Education appointed a Blue Ribbon Commission. They'll be coming together in June, and what they'll be talking about are what are some sustainable ways to increase teacher pay. And so really thinking about long-term strategies for recruitment and retention of our teachers. Again, thrilled to see the baseline pay incentive that's been included in the budget. Thrilled to see the career ladder. But let's also think long term. I mean, they were very clear those were first steps in this process. So I'm not disappointed that it wasn't in this particular budget because we're thrilled to see what's in there. But I want to continue that conversation because we need some sustainable strategies for our teachers.
Vice President of the Board today, Carol Hallquist, talked about Principals Connect and the efforts they're doing in Kansas City, which I feel like that could go statewide. You know, some of what they're doing could be, no matter where you're at in Missouri, it could be something that other areas take up and see what their teachers need. It'd be interesting to see if that happens.
Yeah, I agree. And they were really pretty simple questions, right? It was like, what would make your personal life better? As it, you know, we hear a lot of stress on teachers. So what would make your life easier? What would make things better for your students? You know, it's as simple as providing healthy snacks for our students. Or what could free up some time for you? So if you could have, I think she said in elementary schools, they were really eager to get volunteers to come in and just have an extra set of hands in the classroom to work alongside that teacher. That's not the easiest fix, but it's a simple question to say, what do you need, teachers, that would make your life easier? We hear a lot about that in the business world where they're, bringing in, they probably don't do this now, they used to talk about like bringing dry cleaning to the campuses if you had to have your uniforms cleaned, or bringing in childcare because they wanted to make sure you could keep working families with, basic child care needs met, or bringing in fitness centers. So, you hear about that in the business world. So what do we need to do for our teachers to either assist them in reducing the stress level that they have, to increase, and I don't think those examples I gave are the best things for teachers is what I'm saying. So her question was directly to teachers, what would help you? And I think one of the answers, if you heard one of the things they were doing in Kansas City, it's like one meal a week to take home to their family. So they could take that off their plate for one night. That's a true gift. It's something outside of the box that's a true gift for a family who is really, really busy and trying to. How do we add some flexibility to your schedule? I don't know. I was a classroom teacher for 15 years. And when you walk in the door at 7:30 in the morning and leave whenever you're going to leave in the evening, you are on 100% of the time. I mean, and literally we joke, but you don't really get a free time to go to the restroom. Everything is, you are on. And so how do you reduce some of that stress and provide some elements of flexibility? If they have to get their car maintenance on their car, how do they get that done? I mean, those kinds of things.
I noticed she talked about volunteers in the classroom, which made me think back to my days when I was growing up, and this was in Iowa, so take it for whatever that's worth, but high school students could be aides to teachers. Uh-huh. Do they do that here?
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, did you hear what President Shields mentioned today about Park Hill and observing some of these Grow Your Own programs where students are really working in the classroom right now and getting excited about the teaching profession? I hope we're doing more and more of that everywhere we go.
That's what I was thinking. It's a great way to get them involved in the teaching workforce if that's something they might consider in the
right.
future. So, but it also alleviates some stress on the teacher
sure
at the
does.
Same time.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Yes. Now that needs to be. Let me make it clear. that needs to be in a structured system, because we don't want students being pulled out of their own educational environments to become the aides for teachers. What we're talking about here is very specific planned programming for our kids to learn how to be a profession they might be interested in, and the teachers, it's a win-win for the teacher and for the student.
Do they get credit for that?
Yes.
They do get credit. I never
and
got
these
credit.
Programs are right, exactly. Exactly.
I did it because I liked it.
Because you wouldn't. Yes, A-plus scholarships and the tutoring and the things that they do, that's been in place for a while now. Correct.
Okay. When the legislature passed the pay increase for state workers, did you notice a difference in the workforce level after that passed, at least within your department, and then also in the quality of candidates who applied?
You know, it's pretty early to talk about that specifically. I can tell you what I learned very quickly is that we are in a time of what people are calling the Great Resignation, and so everyone has various options, and you're hearing about people leaving positions. That is no exception here at the department. And so what I have heard from a number of people is that that kept them here, knowing that they got the 2% increase and then the 5.5 on top of that. That was a nice movement to help keep them here. And so we'll be continuing. Again, it is hard for me to articulate what I believe our state employee workforce does for this state. They are true servants. They work hard every day to support the citizens across this state, and we must continue to focus on paying them a living wage and a better salary. And so I don't hope we're not totally finished with that yet, but I will say that that was a huge victory for Governor Parson, and we're very, very grateful, and the legislature, and we're very, very grateful for that.
And I hope that's the case. You know, I think about the state-operated schools, mm-hmm. And how they have a very challenging job. I mean, the department in general, the workers have a challenging job, but they have a challenging job.
Absolutely. And you know, our parents count on those schools to serve their children very well. These are our schools for the most severely disabled across our state. They're very vulnerable, high needs students, and we should have the very best in front of those students as well. And they are operating on a state salary. So, yes.
State Education Commissioner Margie Van Deven joining Show Me today. I'm Elisa Nelson. What didn't we talk about that you want to talk about?
You know, I just, here are a couple of things that I would say in this time frame of gearing up. It's almost summer. We'll be gearing up for a new school year as we're working through the summer. And what I'm starting to hear more and more from teachers and from schools and community members is this real need to talk about attendance and engagement with our students again. So I think that's going to be on all of us as community leaders, as school leaders, as teachers, to talk about why our kids need to be in school. If we look at the data that came back, we're doing a pretty in-depth study about the impact of the pandemic in schools that were open and schools that were closed. And it's pretty clear that in terms of standardized test results, at least, those schools that stayed open fared better on those results than those that were closed. So kids really clearly seem to do much better when they're in a classroom with the teacher right there in front of them. And if that's the case, we need to do everything we can moving forward to make sure we keep our school doors open. We know that, in safe and healthy ways, because that's going to be really important in the future. But we also have to emphasize the importance of making sure our kids return to the classroom. It's been hard for some adults. You're hearing this, where they're accustomed to being home, they're accustomed from working from their couches. Our kids do better, I believe, and the data will support, when they're in that classroom and they remain engaged in the learning process. And so we've seen some decline in attendance rates in comparison to pre-COVID. Now, you have to balance that with, we're also asking kids to stay home if they're sick. We're like, don't come to school if you're sick still, because we're still balancing that. But the just genuine importance of people coming together to say, it's time, let's get back in school, let's hold high standards of learning for our children. And all of that has to be done. Again, I understand the importance of making sure basic needs are met first, and we understand the mental health needs that exist out there. But again, giving these kids solid purpose, understanding why their learning matters, getting them excited about the future that's ahead of them. We have to make sure our kids are in school to do that. So I think that's going to take a concerted effort from all of us across the state to make sure that's happening.
It leads me to ask a follow-up question. You were talking about standardized test scores. When that comes to competency-based learning, is there any data out there on how competency-based learning impacts standardized test scores?
Yes, but I think what you're going to hear, I don't want to jump ahead of the group here, because I think they're going to be talking about that in June, about what you can how you can design an assessment system that informs on the standards. And I like to equate it again back to that gaming system, where it might not be grade 3, but you might have 16 levels, and you know what it takes to move from level to level to level and how that equates to the grade. So you very well could be testing at a grade 3 in math, but a grade 7 in English language arts, and today's assessment system doesn't allow for that. Okay, so how do we design a system that does? And that to me is the exciting part in thinking about competency-based learning. It's that it finds where children are and can give you a clearer picture as to where they are, because what we care about is that they graduate ready for success. What we care about is that they have that they're equipped with these skills. And I don't care if it takes a child 10 years or 14 years. I mean, a parent might care about it. But I'm saying what I care about is that when they leave our systems, they're equipped to be prepared for success. And it takes, kids are on different learning trajectories to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to add?
No, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and that you're covering this story. I think it's really important that we keep education at the forefront. And again, just very, very grateful for this investment in our future through our kids.
State Education Commissioner Dr. Margie Van Deven. We will be back with more after this. This is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri.